We were going to have Chad Finke come up and give us a little update on the work of the ad hoc court interpreter working group. Chad, take it.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Co. Thanks, everybody. I know you have some new members, so I wanted to ask Judge if would it be helpful if I just give a little bit of background before I go into the update on where the group's at?
I think it would. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, thanks. And I'll try to keep it pretty brief because I know we're at the end of the agenda. So for those of you who are sort of new to the world of court interpreters, we get an annual appropriation. It's its own line item in the budget. We refer to it as Program 4545. And each year for the last several years, it's been at about the same amount, which is a little over $90 million. And the way that it works, I think you all may know that your courts submit reimbursement to the AOC, we pay you back. And what we found is for the last few years, we've been running what I would consider to be a small surplus in the fund, which is about $2 to $3 million left over at the end of each year. Was it, Zlatko, was it 2 years ago now, 3 years ago? This group recommended to the council redirecting a portion of that to trial court operations generally, which the council agreed to. I think it was $6 million redirection at the time.
11-12.
But nonetheless, we've continued to run that surplus to the tune of, Steve Chang's not here anymore, but I think the latest projection at the close of this fiscal year was going to be, what, about $13 million surplus in there, 12, 13? Up to 16. So that's by way of sort of setting the stage. There is this surplus. Now, in connection with that, as I know Judge Wesley knows quite well and others of you may know, the United States Department of Justice has they started an investigation of the level of provision of language access and interpreter services in L.A. Superior, but also statewide. So they have been talking to a lot of us here at the AOC as well. And they recently issued a letter, and we've had a very cordial relationship with them. So the letter is sort of framed as initial observations and recommendations. But their position is that understanding our financial situation here in California, that we should essentially be providing interpreter services in the courts, sort of top to bottom from the moment you enter the courthouse, not just the courtroom, regardless of what language you speak. And I think they understand that that is fiscally not doable under the current allocation that we get each year. But nonetheless, the presence of this surplus concerns them greatly, and they would very much like to see the branch use that surplus to expand the provision of interpreter services statewide and in Los Angeles in particular. So in order to deal with that issue, ENP appointed the Ad Hoc Joint Working Group on Interpreter Issues. And that group comprises either the chairs or their designees from a number of different advisory bodies, including this group, the Trial Court PJ's Advisory Committee, SEAC, the Court Interpreters Advisory Panel, the Access and Fairness Advisory Committee, and I won't rattle off all of them, but I think there are 13 members total. And the charge of that group is to come back to the council, most likely in October of this year, because the group sunsets in September. So the group will come back to the council with recommendations on what to do with some or all of the 4545 surplus. And then the group had a secondary charge, which it has become, I don't want to say not important, but it's become less pressing, which was to sort of help coordinate the branch's various efforts around interpreter issues. For a while there, as you may or may not know, there were multiple pieces of legislation going that would have created pilot programs in some courts to expand interpreter services, and there were competing bills on that. And so in any event, the council sort of said through ENP, we need a group that is charged with looking at this. And so that was how the ad hoc group was appointed. It's chaired by Judge Steve Austin from Contra Costa, who is also the chair of the Court Interpreters Advisory Panel. I'm the lead staff to the group. We have met now, I believe we've met three times, and so now sort of segueing into where are we and what's happening next. And in all of those first meetings, to say that the playing field, if you will, was not set is sort of a gross understatement. I mean, there was so much happening at once that it was, quite frankly, difficult for the group to make a lot of substantive headway because, like I said, we had different pieces of legislation going. We had different efforts in the legislature, and we had not at the time received the letter from USDOJ. So things are starting to solidify a little bit now, and the group will be meeting again. We thought we had a date. I just found out today it's changing, but we'll be meeting at the end of July. And the plan for this meeting, Judge Austin would very much like to come out of the next meeting with an agreed-upon concrete course of action, sort of conceptually, on what to do with the surplus, whether it's a pilot, whether it's a statewide expansion in all 58 courts in a particular case type. There are a number of concepts out there, but what he'd like the group to do is to try to settle on a concept at the close of this meeting, which would then mean August would be spent sort of putting meat on the bones of that concept, putting words on paper, and trying to really flesh out the logistics of how it would work, because it's fine to sort of conceptually say what do we want to recommend the council does with the money, but you also have to balance that against what kind of infrastructure or logistical requirements is going to create on the courts at a time when obviously your staff are lower than they've ever been. You don't want to create a new program that's going to have a bunch of new data reporting requirements or something like that, although the federal government is very insistent that whatever we do should provide good data. So there's a lot of balancing acts going on. So the group will meet again at the end of this month. We will hopefully arrive at a sort of a conceptual model, which will then continue to flesh out. Judge Earl is a part of the group. Zlatko is sort of an adjunct member of the group. So they're at every meeting, or we try to make sure we schedule them so that they can be at every meeting. But I think that the ultimate plan then will be, like I said, the group sunsets in September, so it will have a final report and recommendation to the council before it sunsets, and then that will go to the council for decision in October. That's the current plan. So I'm happy to answer any questions, or I don't judge that I cover everything you wanted covered.
No questions.
Hi, this is Judge Began from Stanislaw. Are you trying to include anything like language lines statewide for those times when individuals are coming into a clerk's office or something where we don't have notice that they're coming in? Is that part of the discussion at all?
Not really. And, there's a lot of politics around the issue of sort of language line and the use of technology in connection with interpreters. Our discussion really has been primarily focused on getting the 45-45 surplus out for what I would call sort of traditional interpreter services. So this group has not really gone down the technology road at all.
Sure.
David?
So I'm going to bring up a topic that may be controversial. All of the many of the items that we talked about today, we've had to scale back because the funding simply is not sufficient to keep up with the need. And I think one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing a surplus in this particular account is because we were no longer able to be reimbursed for the coordinators that were used for the scheduling aspect of it. So that somewhat built an immediate surplus. Is there any consideration towards perhaps adjusting the allocation to be consistent with the actual usage? Because I think we have to be very careful not to bite off more than we can chew. In other words, if we start expanding the level of service into different areas, is this surplus one time? Or can we overexpend it, in which case that money is going to have to come from somewhere, and it could end up coming from elsewhere in the trust fund. So that's a very dangerous prospect as well.
No, absolutely. And that, I guess on the point about is the surplus one time, I think that it has persisted at a relatively consistent level for enough years now to have at least somewhat of a level of comfort that there is, you know, this, call it 2 to 3 million, if you want to be conservative, 2 million. And there's been a lot of talk about why that is. You know, I mean, I think you just articulated one reason. I think there, I've heard a myriad reasons why that, why we may be coming in short. And I, you know, I don't necessarily know that that's a bad thing. Out of a total appropriation of 90 million, you come in 2 under budget. I mean, that's not, you know, that's pretty close. But I, you know, in terms of the concern about doing the group recommending anything that would then create ongoing costs, that's something that we're very sensitive to. We've also been talking to the State Department of Finance, and they also are very concerned about that. And we've sort of kept them apprised of what this group is doing as well, because they do, they have that same concern, which is, you know, okay, fine, you know, find a way to use the surplus, but don't create an infrastructure that's then going to, you know, create a need for huge out-year cost where you're going to be coming to us with a BCP. Now, that, of course, is kind of directly the opposite of what the federal government is saying we ought to do. So it's yet another balance that this group is trying to strike. And that's why we're trying to be really measured with whatever we recommend to the council, that it, you know, it wouldn't be, for example, full expansion into all civil and all 58 counties, because that's, I think if you were at the last SEAC meeting, there was a sort of an estimate on how much that would cost, and it was, I think, something in the $30 million. So it's, you know, it's a lot more than the surplus could possibly handle.
Judge Clay?
So Chad, you're right. I last year on the expenditures committee, we looked at this in the interpreters, the surplus consistently being, you know, 2 or 3 million over the years. And I guess my question becomes now, as this plays into currently, as you know, the interpreters are under contract negotiations, and they've rejected the recent contract. And a lot of it has been discussions have been the surplus has been available to the courts, and the lack of payment to them in terms of wages, as well as the providing of the additional services. Now, how does that all play into the fact that, you know, we have that going, and these considerations you may make would have an impact on that?
Yeah, I mean, and that is another perspective that we've heard, is that, you know, at least we've been told. I mean, we keep the work of this group pretty separate from the negotiations. But we are aware that there have been discussions that should some of the surplus be kept, just kept available for negotiations. And I, you know, I mean, it's, you can't ignore that that's a factor out there. But I think the group views its charge more as, you know, what is going to be best in terms of provision of interpreter services for the public. So, I it's 13 very opinionated folks on the group, so I don't want to speculate as to where they're going to land or put words in their mouth. But, you know, I know that's floating around out there as well, is that issue.
Questions for Chad? Thank you.
Okay, thanks.